Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 15 in the NFL, Saturday games. Starting up now, I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Trainor, joined as always every week by Mitch Goldich and Gary Gramling as we cover the games, give you our best bets. I went 4-1 last week. Very nice. How did you guys do, Mitch? What was your record?
Jimmy, do you not know how I did?
I don't know. I was not tracking it.
Well, anyone who listened to this show last week remembers, I went a little crazy and decided to best bet 7 games, which was a record, and I went 1-6.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was. It was brutal. I have to say, this was not a bit. I was not like, oh, this will be a funny thing if I just pick 7 games for no reason. I loved the board last week. I loved all the games. I felt so confident. And then it was one of those weeks where not only did I lose, it became apparent by like 1:20 or 1:30 in the afternoon what a big mistake I had made and that I was going to have a tough day.
Usually, so, when you like a game a lot, you know within like the first 5 minutes whether it's going to win or lose a lot of the times. Guy, how'd you do last week?
3-3. The only eventful thing was betting the over in that Seahawks-Jets game because the Jets missed all those kicks, and then I left it on the TV for the second half. Yeah, I have multiple devices going, so I had all the games anyway. But the big screen had the Jets game on, and I'm just waiting for them to score their garbage time touchdown and push it to the over. Didn't come, but my kids will sometimes slip into the room for the late games and sort of watch them with me. And my 8-year-old just every 5 minutes was like, "Why is this game on? Why is this game on?" It's like, well, your daddy has a problem.
Yeah, when you bet the
over in this game, and now he needs Sam Darnold to actually move the ball against a terrible defense.
He wasn't just trying to say, why are the Jets allowed to play? Like, why is
that?
This
could
like,
also, yeah. It, you could interpret the question a lot of ways. It might have been rhetorical in nature, but yeah, that one didn't come through, and that was the only one that really bothered me one way or another.
When you bet the over, you don't expect Russell Wilson to get pulled in the third quarter. I imagine that was the moment you knew things weren't going for you.
Geno Smith did his job. They got points. points with Geno Smith in there. Sam Darnold didn't get points, though, and that's the way it goes. So I don't know. Maybe they'll go back to Geno next year if they pass on Trevor Lawrence. But did anyone have – I know we had the game at 2 points, but did anyone have a real bet on Browns-Ravens Monday night?
I just had the over, so I was fine with that. Okay. And I know when I bet the over on my site, it was still 3. It didn't go to 3.5 when I saw it. It probably like 7:30-ish. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
enjoyed the ending as a spectator because that was unbelievable there.
That's, listen, when those don't hurt you, that's as good as it gets from a gambling standpoint. All right, let's kick off week 15 here and see if Mitch can get back on track and see if I can stay hot here.
I have no best bets this week. I'm going to pass on every game. I'll just kick it over to Gary.
I didn't love the board, but here we go. First game, Buffalo, coming off that big Monday. That was a head-to-head Gary and I had. He had the Steelers. I had Buffalo last week as best bets. Coming off that win against Pittsburgh, -6 in Denver. Denver coming off a win in Carolina, which hurt me in real life. Buffalo -6, the total 49, Gary.
Yeah, I like the total in this one. I think when you go out to Denver, it's always an adventure. Broncos, they played good defense this year. I know they had not a great week in Carolina last week, but they've been pretty solid on the defensive side of the ball. If you look at what they've done over the past three seasons, so we're going back to 2018, when they are facing a team that's averaging 27-plus points, they have gone under in 11 of those 12 games. 11 of 12 of those games. I guess that's a better way of phrasing it. And when playing a team against who has a winning record, they're 15-3 going under in those games. 15 unders, 3 over. So I think this one is going over. I'm going to be very Mike Francesa here for a second and run off totals from there. Post November 1st games at home, the last two seasons, we got 43 points, 43 points, 44 points, and then this year 61. That was that Chargers game where they came back and Drew Lock won it on the butt catch. 61, then 33 and 34. So I think this one stays relatively low scoring. You know, maybe you get weather out there this time of year in Denver. I haven't looked at the forecast yet, but regardless, I do think they defend well. You know, Josh Allen has been a little bit streaky, as he always is, so I think this one goes under. And as far as the sides go, I think it's a bit of a danger zone for the Bills here. I'd back away from it because you know, the Broncos are a bit of a dud offensively, but I think this is a tougher game than people expect for Buffalo.
Mitch?
Yeah, so I love that we're starting with this one because, as you guys know, I have sworn off Broncos games. And I will say, for any Broncos fans out there, this is not a shot at your team because it works both ways. There have been times I've picked them to win and they've lost, but there have also been times where I thought they were going to lose and they've shown up and won or at least covered and played well. So it's nothing against the Broncos fans. I am off on the team. It's funny, I'm now imagining anyone who's watching this show or listening for the first time, I'm normally very confident. I'm totally shook by my 1-6, and we're starting with the Broncos. But anyway, my gut tells me, as much as I don't want to weigh in, I kind of like the Bills here. They're on such a roll, and, you know, I think, Gary, you're right that the Broncos may be a tougher game for them than a lot of people think, but I also just think that you know, the line sort of takes into account that I thought Drew Lock was much better last week than he's been. 4 touchdown passes, obviously. And, you know, so I think that, you know, obviously the Bills are charging and playing really well. But you wonder what this line would look like if it was coming off the Broncos games of a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I'm not going to best bet it because I'm done best betting Broncos games. But if you made me pick a side, I would lean Bills this way. Just the way they're playing, their mojo is great. I underestimated them, and they look like they're charging up toward the 2 seed. At least the 3, they should clinch the division this weekend. So yeah, you know, I do. I cautiously say that I like Buffalo here.
Gary and I went head to head last week on Buffalo Pittsburgh. We're going to be on the same side. I love the under in this game. Gary laid out some of the reasons here. I think, you know. Buffalo was playing out of their minds against Pittsburgh last week. I think in Denver now, it's going to be a little bit tougher to put up the points that they were able to put up last week. Broncos defense has played well. Total here is 49. I mean, that just seems high, especially for a Broncos offense that I don't think is that good. I do think the Bills defense is a little overrated, but not to the point where they should struggle against Denver. So I like under 49 here a lot. I should have mentioned, too, this is a Saturday game, first game of the week. This is Saturday 4:30. The other Saturday game at 8:15, Carolina at Green Bay. Packers, 8.5-point favorites, total 51.5. Mitch.
Yeah, so this one is a little tough, and I saw the line started lower and then went up to 8.5. But I do like Green Bay here. I feel like Carolina, they were like a nice story early in the season in October, and they're winning games without Christian McCaffrey, and people like Bridgewater and what he's doing. And then all of a sudden you look up and they've lost 7 out of 8 games, and it feels like Teddy just hasn't progressed through the season. Like, I think early in the year it was like exciting watching him, and he did well. He won all his games that he played in relief last year for the Saints. But it feels like he just hasn't taken a step during the season like you might like to see. I think Carolina's still squarely in that conversation of teams that are going to be looking for new quarterbacks, whether this coming off season or next. But you know, even though they've lost 7 of 8, they do have some good losses in the mix. Like, looking at their schedule now, 3 points in New Orleans, 2 points in Kansas City. They nearly beat the Vikings, but I like the Packers. And you know, even though you see an 8-point spread, 8.5, now at this point, I think sometimes you worry about like a backdoor cover, but in this situation, I think, you know, I like the Packers as one of those teams to keep the foot on the gas. I think it's, you know, Saturday night in Lambeau, and there's all this conversation now about Rodgers in the MVP discussion, especially after Mahomes threw 3 picks. And I know sometimes it's like, it's silly to worry about stuff like that, but this just seems like the kind of team in a situation where they're going to want to put up points and put on a show on national TV and get a big lead and throw the ball, you know, even if they're ahead. And, you know, I think they have back-to-back primetime games, if I'm right. And this just feels like one of those situations where Aaron Rodgers in particular, and even, you know, his teammates who I think like him a lot, would be very happy to win a game big. So, you know, and it's not just him. It's a good team overall. I've said for a few weeks now, I think the Packers are the best team in the NFC. And now I think more people are saying that after the Saints lost to the Eagles last week. So even though it's up over a touchdown, 8.5 now, I do like Green Bay to cover.
Gary?
Stay away. The fact that the spread is so big, I'm not crazy about. Obviously, I'd probably lean Packers if I had to pick it. And look, it's stupid to rely on anecdotal stuff, but you remember Carolina went out there last year and in the snow with Kyle Allen. They went down to the wire with the Packers here, a bit of a different Packers team, and obviously a different Panthers team, though I think that Panthers team is probably not as good as this current one. So I'd stay away. They're... We've seen the Packers put a couple duds out this year, especially in their own stadium. The Panthers are well coached. They, you know, they've said they're going to play out the string. It's not going to be a tryout for guys down the stretch here. And yeah, it's a little too much volatility here for me.
Yeah, it's a stay away from me. I don't really have I do think, you know, the beginning of the season, there was all this talk about Matt Rhule, but the Panthers have completely gone in the tank. And I wonder... Now, they haven't had Christian McCaffrey, so that's an issue. Not going to have him again this week. You'd think the Packers here would get a cover, but 8.5 is high. And this here on a Saturday night standalone would be a major teaser game for me, packaged with something on Sunday. But I'm not going to lay 8.5. Next game, the Bucs go into Atlanta as 6-point favorites. The total here is 49.5. Gary.
I can't get a good read on this one. It can never get a good read on the Falcons. Who knows where they're going to be world beaters? Who knows where they're going to you know, lose by 40 points here? I'm still wondering about the Bucs here. You know, I was wondering how they'd be coming out of the bye. Last week against the Vikings, the offense was out there for 20 minutes. I mean, it was really difficult to get a read on what they're doing going forward here. So this is a stay away from me. I'm never crazy about road teams within the division anyway. I'd probably lean Atlanta if I had to, but yeah, too much going on here to get a good read on this one.
Mitch?
Feels like a personal attack on me. Now you had to bring up road teams within the division, Gary. this is a stay away from me. Like you said, I mean, who knows what to make of the Atlanta Falcons on a week-to-week basis, on a quarter-to-quarter basis. You know, they've been competitive. They played the Saints close, and then they get the Chargers, and it's like a comedy trying to see which team's actually going to win that game. A game that I needed them to pull out, by the way. But anyway... you know, I think you've got to like the Bucs. Gary, you're right about the time of possession stuff. And also, that game could have been closer if Dan Bailey hadn't missed, I think, 4 kicks. I think it was 3 field goals and an extra point last week.
Left 10 points on the field.
It was a mess.
And you know, the Bucs, their wide receivers, I don't know that they've had 20 minutes all season with all of their wide receivers on the field. And concerns about everybody and who's healthy and who's around. And now Ronald Jones is on the COVID list this week. So, I I think the spread's just a little bit too high. This game wouldn't surprise me at all if it's like not just a 3-point game, but like a 2-point game, like missed kicks and something ugly happens or a safety or something weird. And it's like, you know, a 4-point game one way or another at the end. So, you know, I could see a close game. I could see a Bucks blowout. I'm going to leave this one alone.
I don't have a feel on the side, but I like the over in this game a lot, 49.5. I think the Bucks offense is fine. I think the Brady stuff is overrated. They did what they had to do last week against the Vikings. They're indoors here. Don't have to worry about anything. Gronk's starting to really roll. So I think Tampa puts up points, and I don't think their defense is any good. I think the Falcons put up points here as well at home. I think, you know, the Falcons, their season's over. They'd love nothing more than to, you know, do some damage to a division opponent. So I like the over. I think you'll see points in this one. Next game is a interesting one. The Dolphins at home giving a point to the Patriots. The total is 41.5, Mitch.
Yeah, I love the Dolphins here. I'm being cautious saying that I love picking against the Patriots, but this is a line that just really surprised me. I mean, I just think you look at these teams and how they've trended the last few weeks. I think it's obvious that Miami's better right now. And then, you know, putting aside that I think they're better, isn't this like a thing that the Patriots often play poorly in Miami, and that's like a trouble spot for them, even the years that the Patriots have been better than the Dolphins? And, you know, you look at the Belichick matchup against Brian Flores, and Miami pulled the upset last season. I think it was week 17 last year, which ended up being really costly for playoff seeding. And, you know, I just think I liked what I saw from the Dolphins showing some fight against the Chiefs last week. I know they didn't win because, you know, good luck stopping the Chiefs for 60 minutes, but they still picked off Mahomes 3 times. That defense is really legit. And, you know, it's a low total here, 41.5. And I think that's because you've got to expect the Patriots offense to struggle. We saw them in primetime last week and they scored 3 points. So, you know, looking at this, it's fun. I think America would be happy looking at a game like this and thinking that the Patriots are going to lose and be pretty much knocked out of the playoff contention. That feels like a fun thing, which means, of course, the Patriots will probably win and make everyone burying them look stupid because they'll take it into week 17. But no, I will stand strong, and I do like Miami here.
Gary?
Yeah, to Mitch's point, 5-2 Miami against the spread against the Patriots at home over the last 17, and also 5-2 against, straight up 5-2 as well. As I look at this, and one of them was last year's opener. You guys probably remember that, the 43-0 game. Josh Rosen got some run in that game. But yeah, I said this a couple weeks ago when they were only given a point to the Chargers, where, you know, I'm not crazy about the matchup from like an X's and O's standpoint here. Dolphins don't stop the run well. The Patriots only run the ball. They have no passing game at this point. Patriots can go down there and win. Is it a 50-50 game? No. Like this is like a 65-35 game for Miami to win. This is just it's a disrespectful spread for a team that's pretty good here and that's clearly better than their opponent. So I like Miami a lot in this one. I've said this a couple times during the year, and they've sort of shown life here and there. But if you're a veteran member of the Patriots, and this time of year you're ramping up for the playoffs and another Super Bowl run, I mean, are you going all out? Are you playing hard down the stretch here?
I think because of who your coach is. He's not going to allow it.
We'll see, Jimmy. I just, if I'm like one of the McCourties or I'm like, Lawrence Guy or something like that, it's kind of like, you know what, been putting up with COVID all year. This has been a miserable season. Half the guys opted out. I think we're just going to, enjoy ourselves down the stretch. Go down to Miami, have some fun.
The perks of going to Miami in a normal season do not exist right now. I think they will be having less fun than they might typically have on a trip to Miami. They will be in the hotel following social distance guidelines. So you might think they have fewer distractions. I don't know what Patriots road trips are like. They're probably very disciplined and take them as seriously as anyone else in the league, I would guess. But
yeah, I mean, my take here is, you know, you both like Miami. Gary breaks it down 65-35. And for me, it's a stay away because I can't put the nail in the Bill Belichick coffin yet. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to have a winning record. I got all that. But Bill Belichick going against a rookie quarterback would make me nervous if I had the rookie quarterback. And I do think, now this is going to sound absolutely insane to say there could be a little bit of a letdown to the Dolphins when they got the Patriots coming into their building. But after that loss to the Chiefs last week, the Chiefs are the new Patriots. So there could be a letdown this week with Miami. I could see it a little bit. So I don't trust the game. So that's why it's a stay away from me while you guys are both on Miami, like I think a lot of people will be. The next game that we're going to discuss is the game of the day, 425 on Sunday there on CBS. Chiefs minus -3 at the Saints, total 51.5. Garrett.
Yeah, we'll see about Drew Brees. Right now, it's unclear whether he'll play or not. Obviously, I think at this point, we saw last week that Taysom Hill is probably not going to bring a team back from a big deficit. The Eagles' entire secondary got hurt, and that's what kind of opened the door for the Saints in that game. But, you know, obviously, you're at risk of falling behind by multiple possessions anytime you play Patrick Mahomes. But I just want to bring up something about Patrick Mahomes last week, because everyone's on this sort of like, oh my God, three interceptions, out of the MVP race and all this stuff. One was deflected by a guy who was on the ground, and then, you know, Van Ginkle like pops up in a split second and deflects the thing and gets intercepted. And one was just a, you know, downfield throw that wasn't very good. And then he, you know, the one he threw where he overshot Clyde Edwards-Helaire on one of those off-balance throws that he usually makes. Yeah, he missed a throw. But let's not go nuts here. They fell down 10-0, and then he scored 21 points in like a 10-minute span, and the game was over. So there's nothing wrong with Mahomes at this point. There's nothing wrong with the Chiefs' offense. It's what we thought it would be pretty much every game for the past two seasons here. So you got to like the Chiefs in this one. If Brees plays, you know, maybe it turns into a coin flip type of game. But I would lean Kansas City here.
Mitch.
Yeah, so you hit a few points that I was going to make, Gary. First off, everything you said about the Chiefs' offense is right. They are totally fine, and I think we've talked on this podcast about the fact that they have not always kept the foot on the gas pedal the whole game. They'll get up big, they'll go through these spurts, and then not necessarily take it easy, but they don't sort of have that out-for-blood sort of thought process mindset that they had a couple seasons ago when Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. And I was going to say the same thing as you, and I kind of expect it to be Taysom. Not that I have any inside information, but I just feel like if Drew Brees was going to start, we would have heard about him practicing more at this point in the week. And so I love the Chiefs. I've said all year, when the Chiefs are favored by this small a number, you've got to take them. You've got to expect them to win. They haven't really been blowing most teams out, but they have always found a way to win, except for that one game against the Raiders. And the spread here is only a field goal. So I like them to win by a field goal. You know, this game's in New Orleans, and so a lot of times the home team gets 3 points. So the spread's only 3. Are they saying that this game would be a pick'em on a neutral field? I don't think so. I think if these two teams played in the Super Bowl, I think the Chiefs would be favored. I don't think that's a hot take to say that. The Chiefs are the defending champs who've only lost one game, and they look great. So, you know, this line's coming after the Saints. They finally lost a game. And again, I don't want to overemphasize that. It happens. Teams lose games. I didn't kill the Chiefs when they lost to the Raiders early in the season. But there are some concerns that the Chiefs are going to have some stretch where they, you know, score 2 or 3 touchdowns in a hurry, and they might need Taysom to score some points and keep up with them. And I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I'm just, anytime the Chiefs are minus -3, I'm taking them, and I'm going to hold to that even through the end of the regular season, through the playoffs. I like them at this number for sure.
I love the Chiefs for basically almost every single thing Mitch said. First of all, you're laying a field goal with the best team and best offense in the NFL. Road, home doesn't matter, especially this year. The Chiefs don't try. I mean, it's that simple. And then when they decide to try, they're unstoppable. I have a feeling, because they're playing probably the best team in the NFC, maybe the second best team if you want to go that way, and they're on the road, I think they're going to try from the start to the finish. I don't think you're going to see the lackadaisical play you've seen the past few weeks, which means 3 points should be a simple cover. I mean, Taysom Hill is not going to be able to keep up with the Chiefs offense. Again, since this is a gambling podcast, I'll give you a little tidbit here on a Thursday. I looked on the gambling site that I use to make my wagers. The Chiefs team total on Sunday is 27.5. I will be betting that today, and that will be my biggest bet on Sunday by far.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked, game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked, your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
Next game is Sunday night, NBC flexed in. Dallas, San Fran got the boot. Browns, Giants gets in there on Sunday night. And the Browns line keeps going up. Last check, -6 against the Giants. No Daniel Jones, will be Colt McCoy. Total 44.5, Mitch.
Ooh, I hadn't seen that this was at -6. I thought we were still dealing with a lower number. I mean, the big news in this game is that Jason Garrett is out with COVID, and so now it becomes the Freddie Kitchens revenge game. I don't want to, gloat or sound gleeful. Obviously, we're wishing all the best for Jason Garrett and everybody who's out with COVID all season, and that goes without saying, and we all feel that way. All that said, it's like exciting that it's going to be Freddie Kitchens against the Browns. All this game is missing is Odell Beckham playing, and then it would be, a double revenge game. But anyway, I think I was going to say, I was prepared to say you have to go Browns here. Although I was thinking that about a smaller number. I love their offense ever since Nick Chubb came back. I think the Browns, they went through a little bit of a lull in the middle of the season where they lost to some good teams. And a lot of that was while Chubb was out. And I just think since he's back, he and Kareem Hunt together, are just such a good 1-2 punch, and they make life much easier on Baker Mayfield. And, you're looking at the Giants who, started to have a surge of their own and for a while looked like they were going to be the NFC East champs. Now you've got, the Daniel Jones injuries last week. I don't know if he even should have been on the field. And so now it's going to be Colt McCoy time. You wonder if this game would have been flexed into primetime, if they knew it was going to be Colt McCoy and they knew the Giants were going to lose to the Cardinals 26-7. It's possible that they are regretting that now. Not that we would go back to, Cowboys Niners, but maybe they could have found something else that we liked. I will say the under 44, if this number is still 44, that number is a little bit tempting to me. I was looking at the Giants schedule. They've played 4 in a row and 7 of 8 have gone under that number. or under or on that number, I think. So, you know, I don't know. My gut says I like the Browns. I kind of like the under, but I just think there is some uncertainty around this game, just given, you know, everything going on and who's going to be out. I mean, the Giants have some injuries on defense. It looks like Bradbury's going to be out. I didn't see all the other names who are going to be out. So, like, everything says I want to lean toward the Browns, but they have been a surprise this season. So I think at the end of the day, given all that, I'm talking myself in circles. I think it is probably a stay away for me.
Gary.
Only one Colt McCoy mentioned so far, so I'll have to say his name a couple of times. Frankly, I mean, look, last week Daniel Jones was completely immobile. An immobile Daniel Jones is a worse quarterback than Colt McCoy, so I'm a little bit disappointed that this line moved a little bit, because I do really like Cleveland in this one. I worry a little bit about, you know, Monday night physical, emotional, draining game, short week. You know, do they start a little sluggish here against a Giants team that's just going to try and just run it down their throats and run the ball 40 times in this game? We'll see. Just the Giants are going to score points. The Browns, we've seen when they're normal weather games against sort of non-world beating defenses, they've been fine offensively. They put up enough points. I don't think they're a great offense, but they're a good enough offense that they're going to probably cover a touchdown spread here in East Rutherford, is how you say it. And one quick trend here for the Giants, we've hit on this quite a few times over the last couple of years, 2-13 against the spread as a home underdog of 7 points or less since 2018. So I do like Cleveland here a lot.
2-13 is a home underdog, 7 points or
touchdown less. Yep.
Yeah, it's a huge stay away game for me. I could see the Browns really having a letdown after that loss. I think they'll win. I don't know about the cover. And, you know, I'm not even the under. You think the under here is a lock? I don't trust the Browns defense enough to say that the Giants can't put up, I don't know, 17, 20 points in here. I mean, you can't. You're going to tell me this game can't be 27-20 Cleveland? I mean, Colt McCoy is not good, but he's serviceable at least. So, I don't think they're completely dead, but I'm not putting my money on this game, that's for sure. The next game is the Monday Nighter. Not a good one. Steelers -12.5 in Cincinnati. The total is 40.5, Gary.
Yeah, this one's a dog right here on Monday night. Yeah, it's a tough week for primetime football. I think the Steelers are probably going to win this one comfortably. They have issues offensively. We've seen it. Ben Roethlisberger is hampered in some way by that knee injury, and I think that's affecting his ability to actually get the ball downfield in any way, shape, or form. But this Bengals team has completely mailed it in. I mean, we were talking about, you know, do the Patriots mail it in earlier in the show? I mean, this Bengals team looks like they would rather be anywhere than playing organized football every week now. So I would guess, even if the Steelers are sort of, you know, not clicking offensively, they probably still win this game, like, you know, 27-6 or something like that.
Mitch?
Yeah, I think you're right, Gary. I think you have to go Steelers. Bengals, their points scored the last five games, working backward, 7-7, 17-9, 10. And the only reason it was 17 was because they had a kickoff return that was about 100 yards, possibly more if I remember right. So five games in a row, the offense hasn't scored more than 10 points. They are cooked. And I know that Pittsburgh's D is banged up, but this feels like a get-right game for them. And, you know, the guys they have left are still good. They just have fewer of them, but they still have enough talented players. This is a game they need. They have to right the ship and stay in that, in the hunt for home field or good seating or whatever. Their schedule, I think that they have tougher games coming up. This is a game they just have to win. Now, the other thing is, we have talked about this forever, that the Steelers seem to always play down to competition, and they'll have games in the middle of the season where they'll just totally lay an egg and have a dud against somebody. And they did that earlier in this season. They've done it in years past. But I think that kind of happens more when they're coasting. Like, I think this is a situation where they need it, given that they're coming off two straight losses. And they know it's the Colts and the Browns are the two games coming up to finish the season. This is not a situation where I expect them to coast and lay an egg and win a game like 17-12 or something like that. You know, I think they will go in and take care of business. And you know, 27-14 tops. Like, I don't think Cincinnati is good enough that they're going to score enough points to keep up. So even though the spread is almost two touchdowns,
are you projecting seven safeties for the Steelers on missed snaps that go out of the end zone?
Maybe at least one or two safeties. That's fun. Let's get a prop bet going. That'll spice up your Monday night, I think, a little more than a side or a total. But yeah, you know, I like Pittsburgh here.
I love the Steelers. You guys basically summed it up. The Bengals are done. They are waiting for next year. The Steelers are going to lose their next two games. They lost the last two games. They need this one desperately. They'll get it. It'll be a blowout. If the Steelers can't cover two touchdowns against the Bengals, don't even bother with the playoffs, because what's going to happen then? This should be an easy 30-3, 30-6, 30-10 Steelers win. All right, that wraps it up for games we like this week. We're going to hit on a lot of games. This is the most lightning round games we've had all season. Mm-hmm. We don't love the board, so we're going to try to go through these quickly. These are games that, you know, there's a couple of good ones in here, but for whatever reason, the three of us don't like any of them. So let's kick off our lightning round and go through these games quickly. No sound effects. Okay, that's fine. I was
very excited this week.
Maybe it's snow instead of lightning because of the nor'easter we have, and you don't hear snow. So that was a sound effect for snow in there. All right, here we go. Baltimore minus 12.5 at home against the Jaguars. Total 47.5. Mitch.
Yeah. Baltimore obviously dangerous right now. It feels like they fell off the map a little because they lost three straight. But you go back and look at those games. They had that debacle against the Patriots, and then it was the Titans, and then the Steelers in that Thanksgiving game that got rescheduled. And then earlier in the season, their losses were the Chiefs and the Steelers. So like their five losses aren't bad. That gets them to 8-5. It feels like they're having a good season, but people aren't high on them because they're. Well, I guess people are higher on them now than they were 2 weeks ago. But, like, you know, they're eighth in the AFC and they're not 14-2 like they were last year. But it still feels like people are underestimating them. I think they're going to find a way to get in the playoffs. The Jaguars, they're fighting hard. I think we all feel the same way about how this game's going to go down. And it's just in the lightning round because the spread's a little bit high. If you maybe pick one, I would lean the Ravens, but it's a little bit too high. I think Gardner Minshew coming back, I do like his backdoor cover capabilities. I think he's better than Mike Glennon. So, if it was another week of Glennon, maybe I would go all out and pick the Ravens here. But the backdoor cover scares me off just a little bit to put it in the lightning round. But I still lean Baltimore.
Mitch. I mean, I'm sorry, Gary.
same thing here. I mean, look, I had the under in Jacksonville, Tennessee last week, and that was coming in really easily until the Jaguars went to Minshew, and then I was sweating out a little bit. Still didn't come close, but Minshew's the best quarterback on that team. And I don't even think he's a great quarterback, but he's so much better than Glennon and Luton. I don't know why he didn't play last week or he didn't start last week. But yeah, I'd lean Baltimore, but I'd stay away.
Well, I'm glad you clarify that you don't think Gardner Minshew is a great quarterback. Because then I'd have to ask you, like, what you consider Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Ravens should blow him out here, but the line is high. So I'm not really comfortable laying that 12.5, so stay away from me. Next game, this I had it written down. I crossed it out. I may go back to it. Colts minus 7.5 against the Texans, total 50.5. I'll just go first on this one because I had the Colts written down as a best bet, and then I crossed out that half on the 7. I think the Texans are done, but Deshaun Watson scares me still. But I do I've come around on the Colts. Took me a while, but I'm there now. They should be able to win this game fairly easily. I'm just torn about whether or not to best bet it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Watson factor, right? I mean, he was a botched snap away from beating the Colts a couple weeks ago. I think the Texans are probably checked out. I think they probably get blown out. But again, division rivals, and you look at these two teams, the Colts had a 14-point win in the playoffs, the 2018 playoffs played in year 2019. But other than that, their last, going back to the start of 2018 season, 3-point game, 3-point game, 7-point game, 3-point game, 6-point game. So they play each other close. When that spread inches over a touchdown, it's tough to go.
Mitch?
I'm the last person. I'm hopping off the Texans bandwagon. You guys know I've loved this team all year, and I said I was the last one. I'm finally renouncing the Texans. You lose 36-7 to the Bears, and I hop off. I love Deshaun Watson, too, and think he keeps you in every game, but he is quickly running out of people to throw the ball to. And, Jimmy, I'm with you. I've sort of begrudgingly come around on the Colts. I was low on them coming in. I did not think that the Phillip Rivers signing was going to work out great for them. And then I think the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, he threw a couple interceptions that were like confirmation bias for me. And I was like, okay, that's proof that I'm right. But he's been better, and yeah, I like the team. They had that one blip against Tennessee when they basically didn't have their defensive line in place, and they let Derrick Henry run all over them, which, you know, Derrick Henry does to most teams. But yeah, you know, I like the Colts, but I'm not going to best bet against my Texans, even though I'm totally off them.
Here's another one I toyed with for a long time, but I can't do it with Dwayne Haskins or whoever it's going to be. Alex Smith not playing most likely. Hasn't practiced all week. And so it's the Seahawks giving 5.5 in Washington. And the total here is 44.5. I mean, if no Alex Smith is there, I definitely lean under. But I'd love to grab 5.5, but I just can't do it when Alex Smith will not be quarterbacking the Washington football team. Mitch?
Yeah, I feel the same way. And also Antonio Gibson being out is a big loss, too. I think he really broke out this season and made life easier on whoever was quarterbacking. But yeah, now going back to Dwayne Haskins without him, I think that's a lot to ask. It is a patented body clock game for the Seahawks, although we have talked before that Seattle is like the one team in the league that bucks the trend. And I don't want to say that they particularly cover all the time. I forget what the stats are, but I know that it doesn't hurt them as much as it hurts many other teams. So, you know, I like Seattle to win the game for all the reasons that we've said, but yeah, 5.5 seems like a lot for a team flying east. So this is one I'm going to leave this one alone.
Yeah. You guys are talking about this Washington offense. They haven't tried to score points in like the last 3 weeks. They're just letting the defense do that offense they ran in the first half against the 49ers when Alex Smith was still in there. They were completely disinterested in actually moving the ball forward.
But the 49ers are a very good legit defense. The Seahawks have no defense.
Josh Allen didn't think so. They got no pass rush. You can move the ball on the 49ers if you want to. They just aren't interested in doing it. They're just going to punt and wait until someone makes a mistake. I'll tell you why I'm staying away from this game, though. Yeah. Possible rain in the forecast in D.C. in this game. That turf is trash. It's always trash. It's basically loose gravel and dirt that's just like spray painted green for the sake of television. And, I mean, this game could be just a total mess. But we'll see. I'm not going near this Washington team at home on a crappy day.
You're giving me flashbacks to the game last year. I want to look up the exact score and make sure I get this right. I remember I best bet.
Oh, the 49ers out there.
Yeah, I had the 49ers. This is what I thought. It was a 10-point spread, and they won the game 9-0 in the rain in Washington, and I didn't cover on that one. That was a traumatic bad beat for me last season. So yeah, if it's another one of those games, I'm happy to be far away from it.
The next game, I have a feeling you're going to get similar analysis with the Jaguar Raven game, and that's Tennessee -11 at home against the Lions, total 51.5. Gary.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like no Matthew Stafford, and I don't know how the Lions would be competitive. We saw them lose every game without Stafford a year ago, so you got to like the Titans more in this one. I can't imagine anyone actually placing money on the Lions right now, and, well, you know me if I'm saying that. it's got to be true. So, yeah, you lean Tennessee here. The Titans do have a habit of playing down to their competition, which makes you a little bit nervous, but... boy, it's impossible to come up with a justification for the Lions coming within a possession of a NFL opponent right now.
Mitch?
I was surprised. Chase Daniel has only started 5 games in his career. He's been around forever. But, you know, I would have thought he would have gotten at least one season with a little more run than that. Mm. Not that that particularly changes my opinion of his abilities or this game. You know, I'm with you. I feel the exact same way. Feels like the Titans are going to also get ahead and just feed Derrick Henry. I think now people are starting to realize that 2,000 yards is in range, and people are talking about him as a possible MVP candidate, which I don't think is going to happen, but I could see why they'd want to just feed him, although maybe they'd be better served if they get a big lead, just letting him sit on the bench and maybe let Dante Foreman get some run. I like him. He's a very underrated guy. He's like a third running back or whatever. My prop bet, Dante Foreman over 25 and a half yards rushing in this game. That's where I'm looking for to spend my money.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Titans should blow them out. I don't even know why I'm not best betting Tennessee minus 11. I guess I just see that 11 to get scared off. I'll put them in a teaser and be happy with that. Next game, the Vikings minus 3 at home against the Bears. Total 47 and a half, Mitch.
Yeah, I mean, this game. My gut says go Vikings here. I do think they're better. They beat the Bears 19-13 back in Week 10, which feels like a lifetime ago for both teams. I know the Bears finally snapped that six-game losing streak with that win we talked about earlier against the Texans last week, but I don't know. I'm so far out on the Bears that it feels like it's going to take them more than 1 week to get back in my good graces, so I can't imagine picking them here. You know, my gut says Vikings, but I don't have a strong feel.
Gary.
Yeah, I'd lean Vikings too, but again, it was Foles when they played in Soldier Field earlier. Foles had no chance of functioning behind that offensive line. Trubisky gives him something of a chance because of his mobility. So, yeah, I mean, it's a coin toss. The number's right. I'd stay away from this one.
I'm still stung from the Vikings burning me against the Cowboys, so I'm off their games, and I can't watch the Bears. I cannot watch them, so it's a stay away from me just for that reason. Sorry, I don't have a gambling insight into it. I just can't sit there and watch the Bears. Next game, Niners minus 3 in Dallas. Total's 45. Gary.
I guess I'd lean Dallas a little bit. Again, this 49ers team, they don't have a pass rush. And, you know, Andy Dalton gets frazzled when he faces teams with a good pass rush. And even though his offensive line is banged up, they can handle this 49ers pass rush here. So I lean Cowboys here. I'm not crazy about it. I'm bullish on the fact that maybe the Cowboys defense turn things around or are getting used to this Mike Nolan system a little bit more, but we've talked about it. There are games where they just don't tackle, and if you're not going to tackle these 49ers backs who can break off 80-yard runs, it's, you know, they're going to lose this game anyway. But I'd lean Dallas and not feel very good about it.
Mitch?
Yeah, I lean 49ers for some of those reasons, just that they're going to run the ball. And I think especially hearing some of the comments that Shanahan has made about Nick Mullins this week, sounds like he might be on a short leash, or at least they'll just keep it out of his hands. then again, as a Raheem Mostert fantasy owner this season, I can tell you it's been frustrating with him in and out of the lineup. It could be a big Jeff Wilson game, but I think they're going to try and run the ball 30 times and shorten the game. I don't know. I mean, the thought of betting on the Cowboys and banking on their turnaround, I don't love. And, you know, I hate this game. This was flexed out of prime time for a reason. and I think you can just bury it. Fewer people will bet on the game. Fewer people will watch the game. And I think that's just for the better.
Yeah, I don't know. If I had to pick the game, I'd go Niners. I just don't trust the Cowboys. It wasn't like they, you know, blew out the Bengals last week. And that was the Andy Dalton revenge game. Now he's got no motivation against the Niners. So I bet the Niners. Better coach. Much better head coach. Take a chance there. Next game. This is an interesting one. Rams. I'll tell you, if it was 17, I probably would have best bet them. 17.5 point favorites against the Jets. The total is 44, Mitch.
It's funny you said that. I'm looking at my notes, and I had written down, if it was 13, I could see myself betting it. Yeah, I mean, we all feel the same way about both of these teams in this game, and I think the reason it's in the lightning round is just because the line is so high. I don't know. I mean, like I said earlier, Russell Wilson was pulled in the third quarter against the Jets last week, so you wonder if that's going to happen again. But even if it does, I mean, you can't have a backdoor cover unless you actually score some points, and I don't know if the Jets are going to be able to do that.
While you guys talk, I'm looking up the Jets, the rest of their opponents. I want to see if a line will get that high again. So you guys, you can toss it to Gary while
I'll toss it to Gary because I don't have much else to say.
I'm just gonna look at the Bengals too, see what they're going to do down the stretch here. I bet the over last week in Seahawks Jets because I figured, hey, yeah, Jets are going to score a garbage touchdown or two. I mean, Sam Darnold's got to sort of replenish his stock going into the offseason when he's probably going to be looking for a new team and all that stuff. And they didn't. And then they got the ball back with 2 minutes left and just essentially ran two running plays and just left. So, yeah, I'd lean Rams here. That's an absurd line for a Rams team that doesn't put up a ton of points, and on top of that, I can't imagine the Jets just not scoring points in back-to-back weeks in this situation with Darnold under center, and again, just looking to recover his stock in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, I would pick the Rams. If I was betting it, I'd bet the Rams. I take the chance on the half point. I'm not going to best bet it, but How do you go to the Jets in this one on the road here against the Rams team that needs the game? Last game is an interesting one here. There is a play I like in this game, but it has nothing to do with this podcast, I'll tell you. The Arizona Cardinals are -6 at home against the Eagles. The total is 49. Again, the team total for the Eagles in this game is 20.5. I think Jalen Hurts will top that, so that'll be my play. I'm not picking the I want to bet the Eagles here +6 because of Jalen Hurts, but again, it's a rookie quarterback going on the road. Arizona's defense is decent, pass rush, so I'm not going to go there. And that's all I have to say about that. Gary.
Yeah, two things bother me about Hurts. One, I don't know why the Saints seem to be so caught off guard by all the read option stuff. It seems like that's what you're going to do with Jalen Hurts. It is a limited passing game. Now, of course, Jalen Hurts is not going to do the multiple boneheaded things that Carson Wentz did every week. So you're taking the turnover factor out of that. But if C.J. Gardner-Johnson hangs on to that pick six in the fourth quarter on Sunday, are we all thinking about Jalen Hurts differently this week? And
he was able to move the ball, though. Like with Wentz, they couldn't even move the ball. At least here, the ball was moving a little bit.
Yeah, and again,
quarterback, you're going to get that. There could be a pick six in this game very easily.
Yep, it was big plays, big running plays, chunk plays like that. I don't know. Is it sustainable? I hope it is. I mean, I hope Jalen Hurts plays well, and this is an interesting game. But I don't know. My sense is just our Cardinals put up 24 points, and the Eagles hang around at like 10-13, and that's that. And I'm not crazy about the Cardinals, and that's why I'm staying away from this one.
Mitch.
Gary, I think the NFL takes economy is sophisticated enough that surely we wouldn't change how we judge Jalen Hurts based on the performance of his team's defense after some players got hurt in the middle of the game. I can't imagine that changing people's minds. So I, speaking as an Eagles fan, as you guys know, and I never hide it. I mean, last Sunday was awesome. Like, I know some people are mad about the draft position and they'd rather lose out and get like the fourth or fifth pick of the draft. Like, come on, that was a great game. After a horrible season we've endured, it's fun to watch them play well, and at least it's exciting to see what Hurts can do. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people are also saying it makes the offseason even more complicated, given that there's now a bigger quarterback controversy than if he had played poorly. But, I mean, come on, you know, you want to watch your team play well, you want to watch your young players show some promise. Again, rookie quarterbacks, sometimes they are surprising. You're right. The Saints seemed caught off guard, especially in the first half by Hurts. And you wonder if now Arizona has a game of film and knows what to expect, although they should have already known what to expect. So we'll see. I mean, for all these reasons, it's a stay away for me. I kind of like the Eagles. I'm sort of afraid to say that out loud. The injuries in the secondary are a concern on the Eagles' part. I think the Cardinals are also banged up. A bunch of guys were not in practice today, Thursday, but they're going to have some guys like questionable. We don't know who's playing Sunday, but I mean, that's the case for pretty much every team in the league at this point in the season. I want to say that I like the Eagles, but I can't bring myself to actually best bet it or fully just like say that sentence out loud. I have to just kind of do like a half mumble and then just kind of trail off and never actually get to my point.
All right, well, that wraps up the board for week 15. We've covered all the games. We will now try to get some success going here in our best bets segment. Gary, what do you got?
Just three this week. My two sides are Browns -6 at Giants on Sunday night, and I've got the Dolphins -1 against the Patriots at home, and going one total that under 49 in Broncos Bills. I think you like two, Jimmy.
I do. I have four, and that's one of them. Under in Buffalo, Denver. Over in Tampa Bay, Atlanta, 49.5. Chiefs -3. Steelers -12.5. Mitch.
All right, I have four, and we all like a lot of the same things this week. So I like that Dolphins -1 against the Patriots with Gary, and then I've got two where I'm with Jimmy, those Chiefs -3 in New Orleans, and the Steelers covering that 12.5 in Cincinnati, and then thought about joining Gary with the Browns there, but I'm going to leave that one alone, and for my fourth game, I'll go Packers -8.5 against Carolina. So I'm on four favorites this week. Can't possibly go worse than last week did for me.
Well, you'd be surprised. You won a game last week.
I guess I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. I should say.
But. All right. Well, I like this. We're all on. I'm on with some with you. I'm on some with Gary. You and Gary on something. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on for week 15. All right. That wraps up this edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We thank you for listening. And we will see you next week for week 16 right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Good luck with the wagers.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.